Chapter 41. The Visitors. Monday night, Thomas brought home a huge card for Verity from everyone at school. All her friends and many other students had written little messages expressing their love and sympathy. Even the teachers had signed their names and written messages. Many asked if they could come and see her. Kara offered to phone them and plan times. As Verity sat there enjoying the notes on her card, she felt the same surprise as when they'd left Saskatchewan. Could there really be this many people who cared about her? Why was it that such sentiments were only shared when goodbyes had to be said? Did everyone really mean what they wrote? Or did they just feel it was the thing to say in a situation like this? Later on that evening, as Thomas sat next to her reading the various messages, Verity said reflectively, "It's very kind of everyone to send me this card. Yet no one sent me a congratulations card for my baptism and my new hope of eternal life." Thomas looked up from the card, thoughtfulness in his deep blue eyes. No one in the room said a word. Soon the nurse came over to help her get ready for the night. Verity was glad she was a gentle, kind person, as it was quite different having a stranger in their home. At least, she reminded herself, I'm not in a hospital full of strangers. Being at home with her mother all day was a new experience for Verity. Kara had requested time off from work to spend this time with her, and Aunt Judy had agreed, of course. With lots of time to talk and not much else to do, her mother seemed much more open to discussing the Bible than she ever had before. Urgency lay in Verity's heart. So little time was left. If only she could show the people she loved how important these things were. Yet, even with the great discussions they had, Verity had the feeling her mother viewed the Bible as an interesting historical account, not a life-changing force. Aunt Judy was still unable to deal with what was happening. She certainly couldn't understand Verity's faithful perseverance. Every day, though, she thoughtfully brought home a little treat for her niece from the store. That night, after Mum and Aunt Judy had retired to bed, and Verity sat with a soft light shining onto her Bible, Thomas came over hesitantly to sit in the chair next to her. "Peter is really taking this hard," he said. "We've had lots of talks about it, but he's so angry that God would let this happen." Thomas paused. "Actually," he confessed softly, "I don't understand why you aren't angry and miserable either." She laid her hand on his arm. "Thomas, I was at first," she said earnestly, "and sometimes those feelings come back. But I have a hope for a wonderful future in God's kingdom. I know I will be raised, and I pray Christ will then accept me, that I may have eternal life." Pointing to her card that sat on the table beside her, she asked, "Do you feel sorry for any of the people who signed this card?" Thomas looked confused. She tried to make him understand. "They are the ones to be truly sorry for. I have a hope of living forever, Thomas. These people here," she said, waving her hand in front of the card, "at this point in their lives, they don't even see their need for God's message of hope. At any moment, their lives could end, and then they will perish forever." "Like me?" Thomas asked seriously. Verity contemplated that for a moment. "Well, yes, Thomas, unless you do something about what you've come to know. Yes, you and Peter and Mum and Aunt Judy are all in a much sorrier state than I." "Where does it say that again, Verity?" Thomas asked her, touching her Bible. She knew there was a place somewhere in the Gospels. After a bit of flipping and skimming various passages that she'd highlighted, she came to Luke chapter 13. "Jesus is speaking here to his disciples," she said, trying to give Thomas the context. The Jews were God's chosen people, and 18 of them had just died because a tower fell on them. Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." "He just says that they need to repent, though," Thomas said, looking at her a little skeptically. "Haven't I repented enough for the way I was acting? I've changed my life drastically." With a sigh, Verity wondered why her family didn't see things as clearly as she did. "Thomas, you have changed your life drastically, and it's been so good to see. But God is looking for something more," she explained patiently. "True repentance in the New Testament leads a person to baptism. Baptism is the way we put on Christ and cover our sins with his sacrifice. So, Thomas, if you want God's ongoing forgiveness, you have to confess your sins to him and do as he has asked." She looked at him earnestly. I do hope so much that you and everyone else will do what I've done. Right now, all you have is mortality. You live, you die, that's it. If you want something more than that, God expects you to follow His commandments. Even then, eternal life isn't something we can earn, but a gift that God gives us. Looking at Thomas slouched in the old armchair, his face so sensitive and sad, she again felt the sorrow of leaving. "Oh, Thomas," she sighed with great agony, "there are so many people I want to see again. I do hope that what's happening to me makes them all think. None of us knows when our time will be over." Thomas nodded, leaning in towards her. "Verity, this last year, you have made all of us think really hard about life. What's happening to you right now has already made me realize that I can't take life for granted." He picked up her hand and held it between both of his. "Thanks for being the best sister," he said, his voice soft. "Thanks for looking out for me when I was in trouble. I'm not sure yet about everything, but I am seeing the importance of a life with hope, real hope." With a sad smile, he added, "You can know for sure that you've made a huge difference in my life." As he turned to go, Verity held onto his sleeve. "Thomas, please help Peter through this. I don't want him to wait too long. I want to have at least one more good talk." Thomas nodded seriously. "I'll do my best," was all he could promise, and then he headed to his room. That night, as Verity lay in the darkness, trying not to think about her pain, she replayed their conversation in her mind. It was very comforting to know that Thomas felt she had helped him. If there was to be any consolation in what she was going through now, it was this. Perhaps God in his wisdom was allowing her to go through this ordeal for the sake of someone else. There were many visitors to Verity's bedside in the next little while. Many friends from school came. To each one, she gave a copy of Exploring the Bible, a book that discussed thoroughly the major teachings of the Bible. She told each friend, "I may be leaving this life, but I've found the hope for the life to come when Jesus resurrects me." Even a few of her friends from Saskatchewan sent cards. Ken actually phoned to talk to her, but as thoughtful as he was, it was very difficult for either of them to know what to say. Verity was so relieved one day when her mother told her that the Simons had arrived. She'd been rather down that morning and was in need of their company. At home and amongst her friends, Verity had done much of the giving during the last week, helping others to feel better about her situation. Today, she felt her focus dissipating, and she needed to talk. As soon as Craig Simons asked her how she was, tears welled up in her eyes. It was wonderful to have the freedom to express her fears and seek encouragement. Beth Simons took Verity's hand and cried some tears of her own. "You've been so brave and faithful through this, dear," she said. "Well," Verity said between sobs, "as long as I keep the right perspective, I can see things the right way. I know God has been so good to me to let me find this hope before I die, but..." She dissolved in tears again for a few minutes. "The struggle in our mind stays with us to the very end," Craig encouraged gently, sitting down beside her. "Verity, you've found the source of faith. Don't let go of your reading and prayer." "Sometimes, though," she said, eager to pour out all her inner anxieties, "sometimes I wonder if I'm good enough to be in the kingdom. Sometimes I feel this sickness means God isn't..." She broke down again. "Isn't pleased with me." "Verity," said Beth soothingly, "we all go through periods of self-doubt. None of us will know anything for sure until the judgment seat. But at times like this, you need to look back over your life and see how God has blessed you and been there for you. Look at how He has lovingly guided you. He's led you to find the truth in the Bible. Look at how He has answered your prayers about Thomas. God has shown you all along that He loves you. What you're going through is very sad, but perhaps some greater purpose is being worked out, one that we know nothing of now." Craig nodded. "God's ultimate purpose is to fill this earth with His glory forever. Sometimes the trials that come upon us are not only for our benefit, but also for the benefit of others. When we stand immortal in the kingdom, I'm sure we will at last understand why God chose to work in our lives the way that He did. You've done the right things, Verity. You've followed His commands. Just trust Him to the end. God knows what is best. Some of the most faithful people in the Bible have had to endure the most terrible trials." Verity felt much better. Just to hear the Simons' confidence in God's plan reaffirmed the faith she'd been trying to keep. They talked with her a long time and read a few well-chosen passages from the Bible. After saying a prayer, they left. More than a few times in the next 2 weeks, the Simons returned to help bolster her faith and share in remembering Christ with her, since she couldn't go out on a Sunday. A few times they brought Jessica along, and sometimes one of the other children. Verity wasn't sure just how much Jessica understood about what was happening. She had developed such a special relationship with the little girl that she worried how Jessica would react when she was gone. There was a cute little picture hanging on her wall that Jessica had drawn. A tall girl and a short girl stood hand in hand with rainbows in the background, wolves and lambs playing beside them. "This is the kingdom," Jessica had explained, "and that's you and me together." Verity had given Jessica one of her school photos and written a big "I love you" on the back. On one of the visits, Verity gave the Simons a little note and asked them to read it when they got home. "It's just a few requests I have for the end," she said. Craig Simons nodded, solemnly tucking the note into his pocket. "Oh, and please," Verity begged, "please help Peter through this." Beth Simons asked gently, "Has Peter come to see you yet?" Verity shook her head. "I want to see him so badly, but... She searched for the right words to explain, only she couldn't find them. How could she explain how his anger had made her feel incredible self-pity? How could she explain that she longed to help him, but he didn't want to listen? How could she explain that she had never expected it would take him so long to deal with all of this? Thinking of Peter, Verity decided to ask one more question that had been bothering her. "What if Peter isn't in the kingdom? Sometimes I wonder if I will always feel sad and miss him if he's not there. And my family. I love all of them. Will I be lonely?" Beth spoke. "Verity, all of us have certain people that we like to keep with us, who, for whatever reason, don't choose to follow God's ways and therefore won't be accepted. But human nature will be done away with when we are immortal. There won't be negative emotions. Yes, you will remember the people you loved who are missing, but God has promised to take away all sorrow and tears. It's hard for us to believe now, but we have to trust his promise." She paused, looking at Verity earnestly. "I don't think you need to worry about Peter, though. I think he's a very wise young man. With enough time, he'll come to choose the right way." Verity smiled. "I do hope so. But please keep praying for him and give him a call every now and then. I know he has a lot of respect for both of you." "We'll do our best to be there for him and everyone else in your family," Craig Simons promised. Before they left, Craig gave her one more thing to think about. "You know, Verity," he said thoughtfully, "a lot of people wonder how they could possibly be happy in the kingdom without certain ones they love. But think for a moment of Jesus. After all, he is our example to follow. Jesus knew his Father's plan for the future age much more completely than any of us ever will. Think about what Jesus was prepared to give up so that he could have a part in the life to come. He gave up every pleasure in his mortal existence. He had no home, no wife, no children, no fulfilling occupation or hobbies. He even gave up his life in torture. Jesus felt the future age was worth the loss of all these things. Yes, he gets to be the king, but our promise is to rule with him." He rose, giving Verity a gentle pat on her shoulder. "You will be happy, Verity. Of that there is no doubt." Purity and her parents also came several times to visit. Their friendship had deepened over the past few months. Verity wasn't sure how she had earned Purity's respect, but it was always there, deep and real in her soft green eyes. Verity loved her friend deeply, but this crisis made it difficult for either of them to know what to say as they sat together. A slight feeling of envy seemed to strike through Verity's heart when Purity came. She hated to feel this way, or even to admit it to herself, but it was there. Purity had grown up with this wonderful hope. It had been taught to her from the time she could first understand. Did she even fully appreciate the jewel she held? Purity got to live on, healthy and strong, and enjoying the happy teen years ahead of her. "Stop it," Verity said to her thoughts. "I've got to be thankful for what God has given me." Today there was something Purity wanted to say. She had been looking at Verity with big, sad eyes. And suddenly she clasped Verity's arm and started to cry. "It's not fair," she wailed, much to Verity's surprise. "God should have taken me, not you. You're the one who talks to everyone about the Bible. You're so good at explaining things. You've made so many people think. I wish so much that I could be like you. Oh, Purity, Verity exclaimed as they held each other and cried. She was so surprised that Purity would feel this way. Purity, God knows what is best, she said shakily. One day you will see just how precious the treasure is that God has given you. Then you won't be afraid to teach. It will just flow out of you. You'll so earnestly want to help others find the pearl of great price too. Purity wiped her eyes. Verity, I hope so much I can be like you, she sobbed. If only you could stay with me. Verity had to focus hard. Forever, Purity. It will be forever, in God's kingdom.